This podcast is generously sponsored by the Pillar Network. The Pillar Network is a community of SBC and International Baptist churches that are doctrinally aligned, missionally driven, and committed to equipping, planting, and revitalizing churches together. If you're a pastor of an established church and you're desiring to lead your congregation to plant churches, but you're not sure how to get started, Pillar could be a great resource for you. Reach out to them today at thepillarnetwork.com. Thepillarnetwork.com.
Baptist 21 is a pastor-led voice for Southern Baptists in the 21st century. The B21 podcast will discuss current issues in the SBC with Southern Baptist church leaders. To check out more resources, visit us at baptist21.com.
Welcome to the Baptist 21 podcast, where we have conversations about what it means to be Baptist in the 21st century. And this week on the podcast, we continue our conversation with Randy Adams and his presidential candidacy for the SBC. And then beginning next week, we'll start our two-part conversation with the final presidential candidate that's been at least been said to be nominated. That'll be Dr. Albert Mohler. And we'll have conversation with him about why he's allowing his name to be put in and what he plans to do if he were the SBC president. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Yeah, one more question kind of in this vein, and then we'll go to maybe talking about that you brought up unity. There's a lot of concern about division, and I want to ask some questions around how you plan to bring us together, and then some questions about just hopes for the future of the SBC.
Sure.
One Kentucky Baptist Convention's reporting agency, Kentucky Today, mentioned kind of some conflict between six state conventions and NAM. Mm-hmm. Northwest Convention was mentioned in that. Tell us where that stands. And then also, I want to hear about how the work is going in the Northwest.
Sure. Well, and actually, there were six of us that signed a letter. We sent the letter to the executive committee of the SBC and to the NAM trustees, basically saying we want true partnership. We feel like the Southern Baptist Convention in North America has become top down. The partnership used to be, I believe, mission starts at the local level. And you need to keep decision-making and resource decisions at the local level as much as you can. So that's the local church level. Next would be the associational level. That's where all the relationships are, then the state, and then the national. And that's the way we used to do it. We've become, however, very, very top-down. And I think that's been a huge mistake. And so that's what we wrote about in that letter that the six of us wrote. Now, I will say, there were 19 of us in the non-South, and I only talked, we talked amongst ourselves in the non-South conventions, 19 who expressed very great concern. We had a podcast, or not a podcast, but a Zoom meeting with the executive committee officers. 12 of us were on the Zoom meeting. That was after we sent the letter. Some didn't sign the letter because, honestly, they were fearful. And that gets back to the lack of trust. There was fear and concern of retribution and retaliation. That's just a fact. And it's a sad fact, but it's a fact. And some guys just didn't want to do it. Some thought and think, and this may be true, that they'll get a better deal from NAM if they don't sign the letter or if they don't go out publicly with their concerns, because they feared retaliation if they did go public. However, 12 of us got on a Zoom meeting with the executive committee for 2 hours and 45 minutes. I think they were shocked and stunned by what they heard that we've been experiencing for many years now. And we thought that something might come from that. So we've tried to work through the channels. I mean, I've met face-to-face with Dr. Ezell here in the Northwest on two occasions and other occasions elsewhere. All of us have. So we took it up to the next level. We first talked to the brother, and then we took it to the trustees, and we took it to the EC. But at the EC level, thus far, we haven't seen much happen. So actually, it's been quite a disappointment, because I think what we are right now as Southern Baptists, we're the frog in the kettle. We're the frog in the kettle, and it's a slow death. But we are diminishing. Our effectiveness is being greatly, greatly diminished. And if we don't get a hold of this, and again, do those things to build back trust, transparency, I think the solution to the problems is actually bringing to light where we are. You know, dealing with reality as leaders, we understand you got to define reality and then you can make good decisions, hopefully. We have not really, as a convention of churches, defined reality. And the reason is we don't have transparency. And then once we define reality through transparency, we can bring into the system accountability and better decision-making. Now, I am excited. You asked me earlier if I'm excited about things that are going on. I think, and I've written about this, that we're still planting more churches than anybody else. I just think we're not doing nearly what we should be doing. We're still baptizing more than anybody else, but it's over 100,000 less than it was a decade ago. We've dropped a third in a decade. It's unbelievable. We're still sending more missionaries than anybody else, but it's 2,000 fewer than we were a decade ago or 11 or 12 years ago. So for me, it's about comparisons. It's about the direction we're heading as a convention. Not that we don't have a lot to be grateful for, a lot of resources. We have built a system that took 175 years. And that's one thing I tell some pastors who are ready to check out. And by the way, all over the country, in every state convention, we have churches leaving weekly. Right now, one state, Southern State Convention exec told us in February that they're losing 1 to 3 churches every week just in their state convention. I mean, so it that is happening. What I tell pastors is that what we have built as Southern Baptists, the seminary system, the missionary system, has taken us over 100 years. You know, it's been almost 100 years now that we've had the cooperative program. And if you leave, you just can't rebuild and replace what we have. If you're pastoring a church and you have a person surrender to be a missionary, you got colleges, Baptist colleges, you got Baptist seminaries to send them to be educated. You got mission boards that can appoint them and support them and train them. We've got a system that is fantastic. It's just that we're heading the wrong direction.
Yeah. So in that article, it said that 3 of the 6 have backed off of the letter and that have regained relationship with NAM, that 2 have not. But it sounds like from your end, you're saying there were more. It's a fact that there were more that felt like this. But fact is a tough word to say when it's a behind closed door conversation. Sure. You've had issues with this. So it comes off to me, again, a lot of what you're saying, particularly about the trustee system, mm-hmm. how things are working, it comes off to me like you're saying that guys and men and women that we trust who are put in these areas of leadership are not standing with backbone and they're not to be trusted. That seems pretty harsh.
I think there's some truth to that. Now, I don't want to make a blanket statement on that, but back to your 3, it's not true that of the 6, 3 now have a good relationship. It's not true at all. It's been portrayed that way. In fact, I'll just tell you, at the executive committee meeting in February, it was stated from the platform to the entire EC by the president of NAM that he had a good relationship with all of the South, and he had a good relationship with 38 of the 41 state conventions. There were only 3 he didn't, but all of the South. By the way, he also said he questioned the competency of leadership outside the South. I mean, he did that from the platform to the entire executive committee that, you know, we do the best we can because there isn't the same competency outside the South. Okay, that's just a bad thing to say in that position. But so I asked a guy, one of the Southern execs, who he said he had a good relationship with all the South. I said, is that true? He said, no. He said, no. He said, that's a defense mechanism. And I can tell you for a fact that there's a bunch of us outside the South that would not say we have a good relationship. That statement was made from the other side. It's flat not true.
It was reported by the Kentucky Baptist Convention paper. So their official publication, not Western Recorder, but the Kentucky Today.
Okay. But did they ask every guy individually to get that number? No. They probably talked to NAM, and that's what NAM told them. But they didn't talk to the execs in these various state conventions. Because I can just tell you, and I'll tell you, in the Northwest, we are doing well in the Northwest. What NAM has done is tried to subsume the responsibility for church planting outside the South. And so they have set up their own system independent of state conventions and basically take control. They've removed all of the money from state conventions that they spent through the conventions to do church planting. They now control that money. They spend it through the sending churches primarily at this point. In the Northwest Convention, we are almost unique in that we have maintained our own church planting system. We have our own CPCs. We are not giving. And I told the president of NAM, I said, we will not. I said, we live here. We are called here. We're called by God to reach the Northwest. We're not going to hand over to a national entity the calling of God to reach the people of the Northwest. So that's our position. Now, NAM has removed a lot of the funding, and so we have to go to other sources of funding and find new ways to do things. But what I will say is we've got right now 50 church plants that are being funded. We've been extremely successful. When I came here, we had a 447, I think it was, churches and church plants, all total. Prior to COVID, we had 508. So we had a net increase of about 60 over about a 7-year period. Where we are right now, I think we've still got, now they're counting campuses, of course. And if you count campuses, we're like in the 520 sums right now. Okay. So we've grown well. Last year, our baptisms were way up, 2019, 2020, they aren't, I'm sure. But we're doing well. And, you know, we have a lot of unity among our churches, a lot of support from our churches. And our guys understand that in Alpharetta, it'd be like me, if I came to your town and tried to tell you how to reach your town, that would be not only disrespectful, it would be stupid because I don't know your town. I don't know the issues. I don't know the mayor's name and the superintendent of the schools and don't know all the local situations. Well, that's true for all of our conventions and all of our towns. As a state leader, I know far more about Spokane than anybody in Alpharetta probably, but I don't know near as much about Spokane as the men who are pastoring in Spokane. My job is to serve them. My job is to help resource them, consult with them, maybe as a pastor to pastor at times, that type of thing. But I can't dictate to them. Now, here's the thing. It's sometimes said, and we sometimes talk about these 5-star leaders or 10-star leaders and the guys who are really, really good. And there are guys who are gifted beyond the average, no question. However, they're not called to every town. And so even if I thought, and I don't, but even if I thought I'm better than the pastor down the road and I could do a better job in his church or in his town, the fact is I'm not there and I'm not called to be there. So what my job is to help him do better if I can, help resource him, consult with him, you know, maybe provide some strategy. One thing we do in the Northwest, by the way, we provide evangelism resources to every single church without charge. If they want to train their people, we've got several, and we tell them, if you have a resource that's a good resource that you want to use that we haven't identified, we'll pay for that as well. Now, we're not paying for it. We're using the money they send through the cooperative program to pay for it. But that's one of the things I started in Oklahoma. I think we were the first to do it. We started paying for the evangelism resources for every church in Oklahoma that would use them. And I brought that to the Northwest because evangelism, to me, reaching people for the gospel, that's what this whole thing's about. New churches are to come about through the evangelism that we do. So anyway, that's been our approach. We're not going to hand that over to someone who doesn't live here. Even if you're talking Seattle or Portland, those cities aren't monoliths. Those are very complicated cities.
Now would be a good time to hear from our sponsor, Guidestone. 1 Timothy says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Guidestone's Mission Dignity Ministry exists to honor retirement-age Southern Baptist pastors, workers, and their widows by providing monthly grants to help pay bills, buy medications, and cover other basic expenses. This year, with your help, Mission Dignity hopes to give honor to even more recipients as we approach Mission Dignity Sunday on June 27th. Would you, your church, or your small group join us in giving to more than 2,400 individuals in need? In order to do this, or to find out more information, text MDORDER to 41444 to order promotional materials for your church or ministry. Again, that's MDORDER to 41444. In addition, you can text MDSUNDAY, that's MDSUNDAY, to 41444 to give today. For more information, visit mdsunday.org or check out the notes in this podcast description. Sorry, one follow-up on that, just given what you had said, because one of the in that same article that talks about the state conventions, it says that $16 million has been funneled from NAM to the Northwest Baptist Convention since 2010. The uptick in churches has been 6 new churches since 2010. So from 409 to 415, you used a number of 508 before COVID. And then right. I think you said maybe 520. So what's off in the reporting there?
See, and that, I think that was reported by Baptist Press originally. That's where I saw it. And I told them, I said, you didn't ask me. I don't know where they got that number. Truthfully, I don't know. When I came, what I do know is counting churches is messy. It's tough. So we've got churches, we've got church plants, we've got mission churches, and now we have campuses. And I think we have 38 campuses. The 508 does not count campuses. And so how they came up with that number, I don't know. But I told the Baptist Press guys, I said, if you want to know, ask me and we can talk through the numbers. But I said, that number is a bogus number. So where it came from, I do not know. But it was meant to disparage us in the Northwest. And by the way, so the $16 million is dollars that went to church planters mostly. It was the total money that came from Southern Baptist, by the way, and from Northwest Southern Baptist that was spent through the North American Mission Board. It's not the North American Mission Board's money. It's God's money. It's Southern Baptist money. But the other thing is, our convention of churches has given over $16 million to Southern Baptist causes in that same time period. If you look at the cooperative program giving, the Annie and the Lottie giving, we give $100,000 a year. We used to give more to Gateway Seminary because they have a campus in the Northwest. We also provide free accommodations for the Gateway campus in the Northwest. We pay their utility bills. We pay everything. That didn't count. We have spent probably $500,000 on our East Asia partnership, you know, and which, by the way, that's a remarkable thing. From the Northwest, we took 163 people to minister to our East Asia missionaries. They came from 32 different churches, and we were able to put that together and organize that many volunteers from 32 churches. That was just one. We've done this about three times now in the last 5 years. So the investment that Northwest Baptists have made in the IMB, NAM, the seminary system exceeds the $16 million. But again, we're not Georgia, you know, so we're not going to be giving as much as Georgia is for certain. Yep. And that's the way the system was set up. But
two fun questions. Just kind of, I know time's running long and I appreciate your time, brother. What is one thing if you're named SBC Pope for a day, what's one thing you change about the annual meeting, if anything?
Well, I think the one thing is I would expand it to include remote participation. So I'd expand it. I'd make it much, much bigger. I do think we need time for discussion when we're discussing big issues. I think sometimes discussion is cut short. It's a hard thing to manage with a group that big. But basically, expanding participation, that would be the number one thing I would do.
Last question, I'll get you out on this. Let's say, what's your hope for the future of the SBC? The Lord grant you the wishes of your heart. What's your hope for the future? Just kind of speak encouragingly to those you'll be, you know, you're running and will be nominated to be selected. So tell us hopes and dreams for the future.
My hopes and dreams are that we could do those kinds of things, the transparency, accountability, and participation that would help people believe in who we are more so than ever, and therefore support missions through Southern Baptist more so than ever. My dream is more missionaries. It was my dream as a pastor, more missionaries, more dollars going to missions, more, pastors on the field, more of everything. I think that the opportunity that we have is unique in the history of the world to impact the world for Christ. And that really is what has hurt me, is I think we're not grabbing hold and seizing this tremendous opportunity we have because we just don't trust each other like we need to. So building back trust so that we can do more together. That would be what, and I think that begins again with transparency, just getting honest with each other, opening up the books, opening up the records, and letting people, and because, as you said, Nate, and you may be right about this, in some cases, there's some great, and you are right, there's great things happening, but maybe people don't know about it, you know? And I just think our churches have a right to know. Mm. They deserve better. They deserve better. And I think when they get that, we'll do more.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, thanks so much for your time. We'll be praying for you heading into Nashville or wherever. Again, we may not be in Nashville, but I'll be praying for you heading into that. And obviously for God's kindness to the convention. And I just appreciate you taking time. Maybe, I mean, there's 10 questions I didn't get to, and maybe we can get time another time to talk through some of those.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Adams. And thanks for listening to the Baptist 21 podcast. Thank you for listening to the Baptist 21 podcast. To learn more about us, visit us at our website, baptist21.com. Also, please be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast with others. It would really help us out. If you ever have thoughts or ideas for future interviews, please reach out to us at our email, baptist21@gmail.com. Again, thanks for listening to the podcast.